We have so many friends, believers around the world, and one of the greatest quotes is that we are debtors to give every man the gospel in the same measure that we have received it. All right, let's try that one more time. We are debtors to our generation, nation after nation. I think people have finally figured out that the government does not have the answer. Jesus is the answer. The gospel is the answer. The answer is not in the White House. It is in the church house. Amen. You came to church. That's where the answer is for our generation. And so we're debtors to give every person. And different people are called, but whether you're called or not, when you give, you're a partner. You get the same blessing, the same reward as the people who go. And so we've been to nation after nation years and years. And we haven't been able to go in about a year. We'll be able to go back real soon. But actually, in the last year, our ability to reach people has actually multiplied. Everything has multiplied. What the devil meant for evil, God turned it around to multiply the preaching of the word, the gospel, in language after language around the world. So we're not decreasing, we are increasing. We are multiplying. Never in our history has America and the world needed the gospel of Christ more than today. Come on, I said, right now, we need to hear the gospel of Christ. And so it's an honor to be a part of that. And so we thank you so much for your partnership, for your giving, for your prayers for us. And won't be long, we'll be back. I told Joni, I said, she loves to go to Africa and Philippines. And I said, you like that, don't you? I said, when you see the faces in India, how we miss the faces of the people because of India, Nepal, Papua New Guinea wasn't on there because we just started going to Papua New Guinea. Some of the poorest people in the world. But we land and bring the message of faith, and we also bring money. We give them a lot of money. Sometimes one conference may cost us $100,000. The one in the Philippines, I think, cost us about $25,000. And then there were, 15 or 20 preachers from Vietnam. And I said, well, we're so glad to have you able to come from Vietnam. So now we've been to Vietnam twice. The ones who came from Vietnam, I found out they make $100 a year, less than $10 a month. And so after service, I said, well, I got $1,500 bills right here. So I just pulled them out and gave each one of them a $100 bill, and they started laughing and crying. They were so happy, we just gave them a year's salary. Well, they got so happy, the next year they brought twice as many people. I said, well, I got to bring me some $100 bills. So, you know, we are blessed so we can be a blessing. Amen. Blessed. Amen. So thank you for your partnership and your generosity. Praise the Lord. And I think Trina is going to come up here and sing. Are you ready? And then we have our wonderful friends Patrick and Dee who came. And Patrick's going to come up maybe and sing a little bit. Trina's going to sing a little bit. And then we'll receive an offering for MHM for the ministry at the end of the service. And so you guys make yourself at home.
All right. That's a bit dangerous. Make yourself at home. Praise God. Well, we are at home, aren't we? Hallelujah. If you're a visitor, come back. This is a great church. We've got friends from Colorado that we met there. Now you're here. Hallelujah. You know, when we sing and worship God, I was just reading through the Psalms how many times it says, sing, 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 sing a new song, sing to the Lord, you know, make his praise glorious, sing. This is a singing place. Amen. Your pastor, wow, you're just great at leading us into the presence of the Lord with song. Hallelujah. That's one way to be filled with Holy Spirit. Sing! Don't your neighbors, I sing. So we're going to sing a song today. We got the lyrics. If you want to sing along, just go ahead, because it talks about something so powerful. Because the way into the very throne room of grace is through the name. But in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, the blood of Jesus has been applied. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the word of God is activated. Years and years and years ago, back in Exodus 12, people were under bondage for so many years. The cries came up to God. God raised up a deliverer named Moses. Remember? And he made a way through the God's plan, and it was with the application of the blood, every family taking the lamb's blood, putting it over the doorpost of their house, everyone individually, their family preserved. They had never experienced that before. It was something new, but they trusted that the blood of the lamb was going to protect them from the destroyer. And it did. Hallelujah. They were preserved. They were delivered. They were brought forth with joy, health, wealth. Glory to God. Well, I tell you what, that blood has never changed. It's gone from the blood of a little lamb, perfect spotless lamb, to the blood of the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. He took his blood to the throne. He applied it there in the holy of holies in heaven. Today it's alive. Today it's powerful. Today it's delivering. Today it's healing. Today that blood is speaking that we have a covenant that cannot be broken. Woo! You got favor. This generation, we need to apply the blood. Hallelujah. We need to sing about the blood. Release our faith in the power of the blood. Praise God, it has power to deliver and save. So we're going to sing this song, Patrick. I always love Patrick to testify because, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Well, I thank God for the blood of Jesus that saved me. Hallelujah. He saves us to the uttermost. And a few years later, back about 30 years ago, I was traveling with Dad Hagen, playing piano for him. I was 19. I didn't even know who he was. I didn't even know how good I had it. But, you know, I was there about 8 years. And, you know, 8 years when you're in your 20s seems like an eternity. And so after a few years, I'm like, I'm tired of traveling on the road, living on a bus with 16 people that I don't like, and you know, I just really want to do my own thing because my life is passing me by. And so I did what some stupid people do. I got out of the will of God, and thank God it was a long time ago, but anyway, got out of the will of God. And you know, when you get out of the will of God, things don't go so great, and ended up in a really bad place, and finally in a hospital room where the doctors told my parents I'd be dead in 2 days. And so my Baptist mama, bless her heart, she's like, you know, what songs do you want at the funeral? And I was like, I'm not going to die. Because I did have a revelation of the blood of Jesus. And I knew that the same blood that saved me was the same blood that was going to fix stupid, you know, get me out of that mess. And so thank God, 2 days went by, and I just kept on living. And Pastor Mark and Trina called me while I was right in the middle of that battle and said, come on out to camp meeting and sing. And I was like, are you crazy? Are you kidding? I'm like, you know, like, just come out here. They just loved on me like Jesus loves and just loved me back to life. And so that was 25 years ago. So I'm still alive, declaring the works of the Lord, live and not die. Hallelujah. And there's power in the blood of Jesus. And truly, it will never lose its power. And as Pastor Mark always says, there's not one thing in me that the blood will not cleanse. There's not one thing in you that the blood will not cleanse. Hallelujah. So no matter where you are right now, the blood will get you out of it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. 'Cause sin separated. The breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, Lord, you held me in your side. Thank God you made a way across the great divide. You left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. There at the cross, you paid the debt I owed. You broke every chain, you freed my soul. And for the first time, I had hope. And so I thank you, Jesus, for the blood of life. I thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but thank God you walked right out again. And now death has no sting. Oh, and life has no end. Oh, for I have been transformed by the blood. touch the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Sing, oh, the blood of Jesus.
Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Come on, let's just apply the blood this morning.
Sing, there's healing in the blood.
You know, when you sing it, that's your application.
Yeah.
That's you taking that blood, put it right there on your life. So it's just so simple. Let's sing it this verse. Mark said, sing this, because this is the word of the Lord. There's power in it. You might need healing this morning. There's healing for you right there in the blood. Come on, lift up your hands and sing it. There's healing in the blood of Jesus. I take it now. There's
healing in the blood of Jesus. There's healing in the blood of Jesus. It washes white.
You might have a family member in the hospital or somewhere. Come on, let's just sing it. That blood, your voice reaches. It's in the spirit, and it'll reach wherever they are. There's healing in the blood. Sing it again.
There is healing in the blood of Jesus.
You are evil,
a victory win.
Let
stains are lost in this life-giving flow. It's wonderful power in the blood.
Oh.
I see a crimson stream of blood flow.
You know, when you start praising, heaven opens up. We can see what is in heaven. I see a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary. That's when I look away to Jesus, and he tells me to say,
and apply the blood over our government. We apply the blood over our young people, over our families, over our children, marriages. We apply the blood of Jesus, the delivering power of the blood, redeeming power of the blood. Thank you, Lord, that you break the power of canceled sin and you set the prisoner free. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. By his blood, we apply that blood over our mind and our thoughts, for the peace of God, the presence of God. Thank you, Father God, for the blood alone has done everything. Hallelujah. 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 That fear has to go. Come on, torment has to go. Sickness has to go. Poverty and lack has to go. Christ has redeemed us. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Oh, the blessing of the Lord upon our life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the blood. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Wow. Oh, my. You can be seated if you want to. Praise the Lord. Trina, come here just a second, because we were preaching on the blood and have been quite a lot the last few years. Almost everywhere we go, we preach on the blood at least once, twice. But someone gave us a little article, and they said that that when you've been bitten by a poisonous snake.
Yes, they mentioned it to us, so we looked it up. You know, you look anything up, you can look it up. But they had to get a anti-venom to give to someone who'd been bitten
or by to develop
a poisonous
antibodies.
Snake, yes.
So they took the venom.
And the best, because all their experiments, how do you develop that anti-venom, you know, in that, against that poison? And they put it into a lamb. The lamb's blood, it says, went to work immediately.
And develops the antibodies.
Yes.
From the poison.
Yes. Immediately it went to work, it said. Hallelujah. So they would draw that blood out of the lamb and put that into whoever had been bitten by the poisonous mm-hmm. snake. And they lived and recovered. They overcame by the blood of that little lamb.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, before the foundation of the world, Jesus is called the lamb slain.
Yeah. We overcome.
Hallelujah. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame the accuser by the, come on, say it,
the blood of the Lamb
and the word of their testimony. Wow.
Wow. Amen.
Overcoming power.
Amen. All right. So you want to look at Numbers 21:8-9. And me and Trina are kind of used to doing our television program together, and so we're kind of used to preaching together. So I always tell her, whatever you want to say, jump up, say it, praise the Lord. Numbers 21:8-9, I believe it is. Is that right? Numbers 21:8. If you have the King James Version, then I think we'll look at the Amplified Version. And I don't know how long I'm going to preach, but if y'all hadn't sang so long, it wouldn't take me near as long to preach, but I sure enjoyed singing and applying the blood. Amen?
Amen.
I may believe things change when you just lift up your voice and apply the blood.
Amen.
Wow. Let's see, where are we at? Numbers 21:8-9. So the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent, which means a poisonous serpent. Set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he shall live. The next verse says, verse 9. So Moses, is that verse 9? So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, so it was that if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. One of the most interesting stories in the Bible. Very interesting story. That the children of Israel had disobeyed God, and says poisonous serpents came out and began to bite them, and many were dying. And so Moses said, God, what shall I do? People were dying everywhere, and so the Lord gave him these instructions. He said, you just take a serpent of bronze or a fiery serpent, put it on a pole and hold it up, and everybody that looks at it, they will live. We know that Jesus mentioned this as the illustration of what happened on the cross, where he died on the cross and took our sin and took our curse and our shame and our guilt. And so Jesus said, whoever believes, he said, will have everlasting life. Right. Believe. But notice the word for faith or for believing here is illustrated in Numbers 21, 8, and 9. And he said, it's everyone who looks will live. Interesting story, because that's a type of Christ on the cross, but it's also the illustration that our physicians or our doctors use for your health, for your healing. But you and I know that's what happened on the cross. And so what happened on the cross, and he said, here, if you look at it, you will live. But actually, the word look, if you look it up in the Amplified Bible, is not just a glance. The word look is actually the word to look with a steady, attentive, expectant, absorbing gaze. All right, let's try that one more time. And so it's not just kind of a glance, but he said you fasten your attention, even though snakes and poison are all around you, and you may have even been bitten. But when you look, a lot of people are just looking at what bit them, thinking about what hurt them. But he said there's so much power, even in the type from the Old Testament, to where you and I are living in the reality of what happened on the cross. That he said, you look and you keep on looking with a steady, attentive, expectant, absorbing gaze. And while you're looking, the poison is neutralized.
Glory. Thank you, Lord.
So the question is, what you're looking at? We know if you're watching the news a lot, that's not going to help.
Come on.
But if you'll dare to turn away from that, even though that doesn't mean that there's no poison or no snakes, that just means what happened on the cross is greater than anything that has ever happened to you. All right, let's try this side over. I said, what happened on the cross through the blood of Jesus, which I call God's liquid love. When you see what happened on the cross and you look at it and keep on looking, there must be power there, that while you're looking with a attentive, expectant, absorbing, come on, that means you're not going to be distracted by what's happening around you. You're not going to be distracted by what other people say. You just say, excuse me right now. My life depends on what I'm paying attention to right now, and I'm paying attention to what Jesus did on the cross. So he said it will determine whether you live or die by what you're looking at. There must be power. Wonder working power in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
The power of the cross. Someone asked Billy Graham as he was in his 90s, they said, what would you do different? And he said, well, one thing I would do different. He said, I would preach more on the blood and more on the cross. He said, because that's where the power is. Come on, we can describe the problem. I said, we can describe the problem and tell you what the problem is, get counseling over the problem, but until you turn your eyes to the cross and to the blood of Jesus, nothing else can stop the poison of whatever happened in your life, or whatever is happening in your body, or whatever is happening in your children or your grandchildren. But when you take the blood, God said, when I see the blood, I got you covered. I'll pass over you. I'll take care of you if you'll just apply the blood to your situation. So he said, you look until the Holy Spirit paints a picture on the canvas of your mind. All right, let's try that one more time. I said you look until the Holy Spirit paints a picture on the canvas of your mind. In other words, this revelation captures your imagination. All right, let's try that one more time. I said this revelation of the love of God and what happened on the cross through the blood of Jesus captures your imagination. Come on, that means you see it in the morning, you see it in the afternoon, you see it at night. Before you go to bed, you're looking and saying, for Jesus was made to be sin for me that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. Look what Jesus has done. I'm looking to the cross. Not just glancing, but I'm studying it. I'm staring at it. I'm expecting supernatural results. Woo! Hallelujah. I like what Andrew Murray said. He said, the sprinkling of the blood is the highest act of worship. In other words, the moment you acknowledge the power of the blood of Jesus and you apply that blood, it still says that in the Old or the New Testament. The sprinkling of the blood. So if you came to worship in the Old Testament, it said Moses took the blood of the lamb, sprinkled all the instruments of worship, sprinkled blood on the scriptures, and then he sprinkled all the people. Huh. I mean, glad we don't do that today. And you got all dressed up. In other words, if you came to worship in the Old Testament, you were blood conscious. Yes. I said you were blood conscious. The highest act of worship means that we can sing, we can praise, all of that is wonderful, but the moment you honor the blood of Jesus, it will take you out of the natural, put you in the supernatural, and bring you right into the presence of God. The moment you honor and apply the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, here's what my mama would do. My mama would do what we called in those days, I plead the blood of Jesus. Most people don't know what that is nowadays, but if you're spirit-filled, you know, I'm Pentecostals or charismatic, you'll hear that. I plead the blood of Jesus. My mama kept us all alive. We had four kids in the family, and I had a lot of problems. My dad and the deacons had to come get me out of jail. But when I got home, my mama said, I plead the blood of Jesus. Come, I had car wrecks, totaled out six cars. I come home, my mama said, I plead the blood of Jesus. I ended up in Bible college for 4 years studying theology. While I was studying theology, I came and told my mama, I said, I'm concerned about your theology. I said, I don't see anywhere in the New Testament that anybody says, I plead the blood of Jesus. And you say it all the time. So I'm concerned about your theology. My mama said, well, it's working well for me. You're going to Bible college, and that is a miracle. So I'm going to keep pleading the blood of Jesus if you don't mind. Where's the scripture about that pleading the blood? Well, it's synonymous with faith in the blood. Plead the blood is simply a legal term. That means I rest my case. Come on, no more worry, no more fret, no more anxiety. I rest my case on what happened on the cross when Jesus shed his blood. I may not have done everything right, but Jesus paid the price and Jesus set me free. So I rest my case. I rest my case. And the Holy Spirit has never lost a case. Oh, come on now, because how do you plead? Come on, don't tell me nothing about your stuff. Let's talk about Jesus. I turn my eyes to Jesus. I'm thinking about Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. Or my faith, my confidence is not in what I have done, but in what Jesus has done on the cross. And by his blood, I'm washed in his blood, redeemed by his blood. And so we call it, my mom would say, I plead the blood. We call it slinging blood everywhere. Right. In other words, she'd sing about the blood. She'd lift her voice and say, I plead the blood. Now, Kenneth E. Hagin, her dad Hagin, is the one that taught us so much about faith. I mean, wow, the authority of the believer and faith and mountain-moving faith and changing the scenery and speaking, believing and speaking. So Dad Hagin taught us about that. But Dad Hagin said, he said, I got saved among the Baptists, but he said, I came over among the Spirit-filled people or Pentecostal people because they believed in healing. So he said, I knew they believed in healing. He said, he had been healed. So he said, I came among them, and when I got among the Spirit-filled people, he said, I would hear them saying, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood. He said, I didn't much understand what they were doing, but I just started copying them. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood. He said, it worked so well for me, I still do it to this day. Because the blood has so many applications. Come on, if thoughts are coming to your mind of fear or guilt or shame, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood. Come on, tell the devil, say, I ain't listening to you. Talk to the blood. I'm applying the blood right now. Amen. So he said, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood, or I rest my case on the blood, or I lift up my voice and make a bold confession about the blood. Amen. And so we honor the blood by boldly confessing. Let's try this side over here. I said, we honor the blood by boldly confessing, not how you feel, not how things look to you. We honor the blood by boldly confessing that the blood of Jesus is more powerful than anything the enemy's trying to do in your life. And when you lift up your voice, I plead the blood. What are you doing? I'm slinging blood everywhere. Come on, there's some poisonous things around me in my family, but I plead the blood of Jesus, his blood alone. I'm slinging blood everywhere. So when growing up, I'm around this all the time. So many applications. If you're going on a trip, I plead the blood of Jesus. When I was in high school, I brought a girlfriend home during the miniskirt days. Boy, and I brought my girlfriend home. I introduced her to my mama. My mama said, I plead the blood of Jesus. My girlfriend said, what'd your mama say? I said, nothing. Don't worry about it. So my mama didn't like her too much. So I told my mama, I said, my mama, I want her. You really know a lot what you want at 17, right? So my mama said, you may get what you want, but you may not want what you get. I thought about that for 40, 50 years. You may get what you want. In other words, the blood of Jesus has sanctifying power to separate you from what would destroy you. Or let's say it this way. The blood of Jesus can change your want to. All right, let's try this out over here. I said, come on, even when you're dealing with a challenge in your life, the blood can change your want to. Because the blood of Jesus carries the antibodies. All right, let's say the Lamb of God. I said the antibodies. Come on. What an immune system Jesus has. I said the blood of Jesus carries the antibodies against everything sin or Satan can do in your life. It carries the antibodies. And you know what an antibody is? Look it up. It's just called a memory cell. A memory cell. Antibodies. What that means is, if any disease or infection comes against you, your body has developed an antibody against that infection. Our memory cell. What's that mean? That means whenever that disease shows up,
come on.
Your antibodies or memory cells say, I remember. I whooped you last time, and I'll whoop you again this time. Come on, there's power in the blood, not your natural ability, but the blood of the Lamb. Ha ha ha. I heard John Osteen tell this story many years ago. Thank God for the Osteen family. But I heard John tell this, and he said there was this bully in high school, a bully, you know, whoop everybody, bully, mean. And so he had a piece of paper out, and so his friend walked over and said, what are you doing? His friend said, what you doing with that paper? And the bully said, I'm writing down the names of everybody in this school that I can whoop. So his friend said, let me see that list. He said, hey, my name's on that list. You can't whoop me. And he said, oh, okay, let me take your name off the list. Don't let the devil have your name on that list when you're redeemed. You better take my name off that list. You can't whoop me. Come on, I got the blood of the Lamb, the word of my testimony. I got the power of the Holy Ghost living on the inside of me. You can't whoop me. I'm a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away. Everything is new. Come on, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Woo! Hallelujah. Come on, quit acting like you're whooped and start acting like you got the victory right now. I got victory by the blood. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I'm slinging blood everywhere. My younger brother, he was a football player in high school, went to college on football scholarship. But he backslid during all that time. He was like doing a lot of bad stuff. So I came home from college. And my mama said, your brother Bob, he's really taken to gardening. I said, something fishy with that. He's taking to gardening. So I went out in the back and I found that little garden. She said, he's really growing some great tomato plants. So I went out there, and he's growing marijuana in the backyard. So I went and told my mama, I said, that ain't tomato plants. Marijuana in the backyard of the pastor's house. My mama said, I plead the blood of Jesus. You know, the devil don't have a chance when you know about the blood of Jesus. And my brother, who was backslidden, come on, came back to the Lord, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and now he's the pastor of my dad's church. I don't know, it's working for me, so don't mess with me right now. In other words, you may not understand everything that it does, but if you'll dare to look and keep on looking and dare to declare, I plead the blood of Jesus, his blood alone has done everything. All right, now listen close. I'm just about finished here. Andrew Murray said, to enjoy this blessing, nothing is necessary except faith in the blood of Jesus. Romans 3:25, faith in the blood of Jesus. My faith or my confidence is in the blood of Christ. And that blood Number one, reaches heaven itself in the very presence of God. Hebrews 9:12, first order of business when Jesus was raised from the dead is he took his blood into heaven itself and obtained eternal redemption for us. Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit purge you from dead works to serve the living God. Praise the Lord. Amen. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit, what does that mean, through the eternal spirit? Listen close. The blood of Jesus and the Spirit of God are inseparable. The moment the blood is applied, the Spirit of God works. Actually, the blood of Jesus is the blood of God. Right? So the name Adam or Adam in Genesis simply means a man with the blood of God. So when Adam sinned, contaminated. So God just made another Adam. Jesus is the last Adam. A new man with the blood of God.
Hallelujah.
That blood contains saving power, delivering power, healing power, blessing power. Amen. Now look, when you take communion, here's what happens. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And this is, I'll try to end up with this here, but I'm having just so much fun. Praise the Lord. I even forgot about eating. That's a miracle. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And here's what Paul said about taking communion. We call it the Lord's Supper, which is the meal of the blood covenant. All right, let's try that. I said it's the meal of the blood covenant. And the purpose of that is Jesus said before he went to the cross, this is the blood of the New Testament or the New Covenant. This is the blood of the New Covenant. So with the disciples, he took it actually in John chapter 6, Jesus lost some of his disciples when he started talking about this blood covenant meal. He said, unless you eat my flesh, drink my blood, you have no life in you. He said, many of his disciples left. They're like, we're enjoying the fish sandwiches, but this is getting a little weird. So they left. So Jesus asked Peter, said, you're going to leave too? Peter was like, well, I really don't have nowhere else to go. I don't understand nothing you're saying, but I'm going to stick with you till I get it. So our little grandson Dylan had bone marrow transplant. They said he had leukemia. And man, he went through treatments. He's a little 3 years old at that time. Now he's, how old is he, 7? He's perfectly healthy today. 7 years old, just played on his first basketball team.
Praise the Lord.
He was running all over the field. He don't even know what he's saying, all over the court. You know, he's running everywhere. He don't know which way he's going, but he's so happy to be out of the hospital, not having tubes in him. And so that went on for almost 3 years. You know, sometimes your fights of faith are not always over by Friday. All right, let's try this side over here. Come on, sometimes you have to look in the mirror and plead the blood of Jesus against yourself.
Yes.
You know what that means? Look in the mirror and say, I'm getting tired of your attitude.
Yes.
Don't look away while I'm talking to you. I'm tired of your attitude. You plead the blood over your own self, over your life, over your marriage and your family. Come on, your health, your job, your business. Your blessing.
That's right.
So when he was diagnosed with leukemia, I mean, he was just hours from dying, and everything was a terrible, terrible challenge. Every day the doctor said there's another reason that he will not live. You say, what'd you do? We just got together and had communion. We said, through the blood
Amen.
Of the everlasting covenant.
Come on.
We're not just looking to Jesus. We're looking away from. All right, let's try this one more time. I said, we're not just looking to Jesus. We're also looking away from. Declaring what Jesus has done is more powerful than what that poison has done. So we took communion, and Jesus said, when you take this cup, you take this bread, Paul said, Jesus said that he told them, do this in remembrance of me. So when you got poison or something attacking you, don't act like you forgot. All right, let's try that again. I said, don't act like you forgot what Jesus did on the cross. So he said, every time you take communion, as often as you do this, which could be every day, could be every week, could be once a month, however you want to do that, but we took communion together. And when we took communion, he said, you do this in remembrance of me. Remember my blood. Remember my body. Remember what happened on the cross. Don't forget what happened there. Come on, that's one of the most powerful memories you can have. Because the blood carries the memory cells.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so when you take communion together, or your confession of faith in the blood, or you sing about the blood. Now, I can't sing that well. You know, we used to say, I used to pray I could sing until I heard you. Then I started praying you could sing. But anyway, so my wife can sing well, her family. I can't sing that well. But she actually laughed sometimes because she said, you're singing almost all day long. I come through the house. You say, what's happening? The psalmist David said, those are songs of deliverance that come from heaven. That means while you're singing about the blood, the strategies of the devil are messed up. So I don't know how good you can sing. But I start some of the old songs, the Lord will bring it to my remembrance, and I'll just start singing about the blood. You say, what's happening? The Lord's already lifting up a standard against the strategy of the enemy. I plead the blood. I apply the blood. So he said, when you do this in remembrance of me, he said, you take the cup and you drink it. In other words, the Old Testament, the blood was applied externally. New Testament, the blood is applied internally. Why? Because the Spirit of God is moving inside of you forever. All right, let's try this again. I said, the Holy Spirit is living inside of you forever. And the blood reaches into your conscience. All right, let's try this again. In other words, Wigglesworth said, there's not one thing in me the blood does not cleanse. That means there's not one place in you, spirit, soul, or body, or your conscience, where he says the blood of Jesus silences the voice of self-condemnation. What's the blood do? When you start singing or applying the blood, and you may have feelings of guilt or shame or fear or torment, the moment the blood is applied, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, that blood says, shut up. Now, I know my mama used to tell me not to say that, but I still like to say it every now and then, especially when I'm watching TV. Shut up. Listen, if you don't talk to your TV, you ain't even living by faith. Listen, shut up. If the devil brings a picture of your past or feelings concerning your failure, then the blood of Jesus says, shut up. The blood says you've been forgiven, you've been cleansed, you've been washed, that you're righteous now, you're redeemed now, you didn't do it, Jesus did it for you. I'm just looking to the blood right now. I'm just looking to Jesus. Faith in the blood. All right, let me finish. I'm trying to finish here. Praise the Lord.
Faith in the blood.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Glory. Praise God.
Woo. 100% righteous because of the blood. No guilt, no shame.
Come on.
Cleanses your conscience. And now your conscience must bear witness that you're the righteousness of God in Christ. Produce. My faith is in his blood. His blood alone has done everything. So the way Andrew Murray says, to enjoy this blessing, nothing is necessary except faith in the blood of Jesus. His blood alone has done everything. Where are you going to get your faith in the blood from? It's going to have to come from looking at the scriptures that tell you what the blood has done for you and agreeing with that instead of agreeing with your feelings. All right, that means to look and keep on looking. Look and keep on looking. So he said, when you take communion, shows your union or your identification with Christ. In other words, I have the same life, same righteousness, same authority, same blessing God put into Christ, everything he wanted me to have, and now I'm a new creature in Christ. All right, so when you take communion, you doing all right? All right. Don't go much longer. So when you take communion, you take the blood, then you take the cup, you take the bread, which is his body. And he said, and when you do that, you do show the Lord's death until he comes again. What does that mean? He said, you show. Well, who are you showing? You're really showing anybody that's paying attention. Anybody that's watching. Well, who could be watching? Well, we know Jesus is watching. We know angels are watching. And we know the devil's watching. So when you take communion, you do show. So the Greek word there is the word promulgate. Show, promulgate. So the word promulgate means to put a law or decree into motion through official proclamation. So when you take communion, you say, I'm putting a law and a decree into motion by an official proclamation. So I was preaching in Mexico City, and my interpreter, I tried to explain to him what promulgate is, and he goes, oh yeah, we use that all the time because it means when you say, I now pronounce you man and wife or husband and wife in a marriage ceremony, he said, that's not just a declaration. That is a putting a law or decree into motion, official proclamation. I now pronounce you husband and wife. Now, you may not feel married, but once he says that, you are.
That's right.
And when you get married, that's a form of the covenant. So that these two now become one. So when you take communion, you're saying, I'd like to show. I don't want to forget this. I want to remember this above everything else I ever remember in my life. Is that me and Jesus are now one. I'm identified with him. I have the same life that's in him, same righteousness that's in him. I'm an heir of God, and I'm a joint heir with Christ.
Hallelujah.
Now I'm showing you. So what are you doing? Here's what you're doing. Putting a law decree into motion. What you're doing is you're saying, Mr. Devil, it is illegal for you to try to put sickness and disease on me. It is illegal because Jesus already paid the price for that. Now get out of here. Get that off of me now. It's illegal for you to try to make me depressed. It's illegal for you to try to make me afraid. It is illegal. You have no authority here. I'm joined to Christ. All right, let me finish. So our little grandson, we take communion. Then when it came time that they're going to do a bone marrow transplant, which is a stem cell. So I asked the doctor, because for 2 years, the doctor had told us that Dylan was in remission. Well, right before they rang the bell, the doctor came back and said, we found some bad cells. We were like, Lord, have mercy. She said, the only answer now is bone marrow transplant, stem cells. So I asked her, I said, doctor, why did you tell us he's in remission when he's not in remission? She said, well, what you understand is there's two kinds of remission. That's what you call regular remission, means that the cancer is no longer working. But we're going to produce another kind of remission, which we call molecular remission. Molecular remission means there will not be one molecule in his body that shows he ever had leukemia. To produce that, we're going to have to find a donor, a match. Well, we were blessed because Dylan had three brothers, and they picked Gavin as the donor. He wasn't real happy about that, so they picked him. We had to explain to him and say, you're saving your brother's life. So they took his blood for 3 or 4 days, and they put it into one of the machines where the spins out, dialysis machine spins out the stem cells. They took enough of Gavin's stem cells to last all of Dylan's life.
Wow.
All right. Then came the day, I'm going to try to do this a little fast. So then came the day that they're going to put Gavin's, he's the donor, Gavin's stem cells into Dylan. About 6 hours is how long it took. They said this is the critical time because he must receive it. So we're praying when this happens, then our little Dylan, he was just laying in the bed playing a video game. He don't know what's happening. And so we're praying that when those stem cells come in him, Dylan's body's going to say, welcome home. We're glad to see y'all. Because either that or he's going to die. So the doctor said, when he gets Gavin's stem cells, that if Gavin was ever convicted of a crime, Dylan could be convicted of the same crime because he will have the same DNA. Then the doctor said, when he started the process, Mr. Dylan, we're getting ready to say goodbye to you. Well, we're like, what are you saying? They're saying, because you'll never be the same person after this. So then said, you'll actually have two birthdays from this day forward. After the hours of Jude's stem cells going into Gavin's stem cells going into Dylan, they became blood brothers. And Dylan actually had a twin, but now his best friend is Gavin. He hangs out more with Gavin than he does his own twin. And so the change of his DNA. So the doctor came out and said a few days later, now Dylan is 100% Gavin. Huh. He looks like the same person outside, but he's not the same person. He's a totally different person. Huh. He said, we have now produced molecular remission. Now, in the Old Testament, sin went into remission, and you were forgiven. But in the New Testament, God said, I got a donor. Glory. Well, you just got to know who your donor is. I got a donor.
Come on.
He said, matter of fact, I'm going to get in a body myself. And Jesus carrying the blood of God.
Wow.
Put his blood on the inside of you. In other words, your identity now is in Christ. So when some of your old stuff shows up, you ought to say, it is illegal. Or you could say, we're getting ready to say goodbye to you. Because you're not the same person, come on, that you used to be. A new creature in Christ. So when you plead or apply the blood,
oh, yeah,
you're declaring in this blood covenant,
declare it.
Let's try it again. Amen. When you plead or apply the blood through your declaration of faith, no matter how you feel or how things look, when you lift your voice in your house, you might want to start it first thing in the morning. The blood of Jesus purges me and cleanses me from every defilement of the enemy. The blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. The blood of Jesus, come on, is my divine covering over my household, my marriage, my children, my grandchildren. I plead the blood. So when you lift your voice, whoo, let's try that again. I said, when you lift your voice, there's blood on your voice. When you lift your voice, my faith is in God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing about it. Make a bold confession. There's not one thing in me the blood does not cleanse. Dad Hagin said, when the devil brings a picture of your past, you say, that's what he said. He said, when the devil brings a memory, come on, because we got some new memory cells here. Come on. When the devil brings a memory of your past, a thought of your failure, he said, you say, ha ha. You say, Mr. Devil, that does not exist anymore. That God said, I am he that blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. If the blood has the power to remove your sin from the mind of God, he's got a good mind, I'm telling you. But if the blood has the power to remove your sin or your failure from the mind of God, that God said, I do not remember anything you've ever done wrong. I don't remember. Come on now, then it must have the power to remove it from your mind and your memory. Anytime that thought comes up, you say, I plead the blood of Jesus. I have faith in the blood of Jesus. I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Come on. Dad Hagin said, when a feeling comes up, I feel like you're getting sick. Come on, y'all been watching the news too much. When that feeling comes, you're like, oh, what is that? He said, ha ha, Mr. Devil, you know you can't do that to me. I'm redeemed by the blood. Go ahead and laugh for me and say, ha ha, devil. You know you can't do that to me. I'm washed in the blood. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, never forget that. You're facing a challenge. You have communion here at church, or you may want to just gather your family together. You say, do the kids know what's happening? No, we got 8 grandkids. We're trying to explain it to them why we're drinking this juice. You don't eat this bread. We said, I want you to know. You see the house you're living in? You see the cars that we drive? Let me tell you where that came from. That came from the blood on the cross. And I'm looking. I'm going to keep on looking. I'm going to make sure you see it. I'm going to make sure you understand it. And when we take communion, we're saying the blood of Christ and the power of what happened on the cross, his body, now has brought us into a place of blessing. Victory. Okay, where'd you get that from? When I was snake bit. Any of y'all ever been snake bit? Come on, I don't know what bit you, but you can tell by people, they're like twitching and, you know, who hurt them and who abandoned them or what problem they had in their life. No, 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 don't let that dominate you. You just say, excuse me right now. I'm looking and I'm going to keep looking. I'm going to keep looking. I said, I'm going to keep looking. I'm going to keep looking. I'm going to keep looking with what? A steady, attentive, expectant, absorbing gaze. What did it do? Neutralize the poison. And you will live. Amen. You will live. Not just long life, but you will enjoy life. You will live. Hallelujah. Anybody hear that today? I said, did you hear that today? Can you hear that? I'm looking. I'm keeping on looking. I'm looking. Come on, I'm looking. I'm looking to the blood. I'm confessing the power of the blood. I'm applying the blood. I live in the glory in the realm of God because of the blood. I'm satisfied because of the blood. Stand up on your feet and go ahead and praise the Lord a minute. Hallelujah. Are you washed in the blood? Woo! Come on, lift your voice and thank God for the blood. His blood alone. Woo! His blood alone. I plead the blood. I have faith in the blood of Jesus. The cleansing power, healing power. Oh, thank you, Father God. Oh, the blood alone has done everything. His blood alone. Washed in his blood. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb. The word of my testimony. I will not be silent about the blood of Jesus. I have a bold confession about the blood of Jesus. I take communion to remember and honor the blood of Jesus through the blood covenant. Woo! God, you said my covenant I will not break. Now alter the thing that has gone out of my mouth. I have a blood covenant with God. In Christ, my Father God, thank you for the blood applied. Thank you for the blood applied. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's say this together. Make a bold confession. Just repeat after me. Say, the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin, from all unrighteousness. There is not one thing in me that the blood does not cleanse. His blood alone has done everything. So I'm conscious of the blood. I apply the blood. The blood of Jesus prevents deception. I'll not be deceived by the enemy. I'll not be deceived by sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses me. Sanctifies me, makes me righteous. The blood of Jesus, I overcome Satan and every attack of the enemy. I plead the blood over my family. I plead the blood. I will not be silent about it. I have faith in the blood. I win every case. Because of the blood of Jesus. I remember that blood. I do this in remembrance. And then I promulgate. I declare. I have a legal covenant with God. And it is illegal for the enemy to put sickness, our disease, our guilt, our shame on me. And my family, because of the blood of Jesus. I have faith, I believe, and I speak. I boldly confess, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the last Adam. And his blood flows in me, redeems me, and brings blessing into my life. I have a covenant with God. The Almighty God. He fights my battles for me. My family, my children, my grandchildren. I plead the blood over my mind, over my thoughts, and I overcome. I win because of the blood. I'm looking and I keep on looking, and God paints a picture on my mind that I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Thank you for that blood. I will live. I will live. I will live. Victory is mine in my spirit, my soul, and my body. I lift my voice and I boldly declare every day I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Jesus is my Lord, my Savior. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up right now. Father God, oh, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Washed in his blood, we overcome by the blood. We're healed today. Goodbye. Sickness, disease, every symptom has to leave your body right now in the name of Jesus. I am healed because of the blood. I'm strong because of the blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The same life, the same blessing that's in Christ is in me. Ha, ha, ha. Now just laugh, say, devil, you know you can't do that to me. You can't do that to me. Sickness try to show up. Come on. Shame or guilt, you say, ha, ha, I'm redeemed by the blood. I'm washed in the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. Woo! Oh, the love of Christ. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.